This podcast is a member of the WrestleJoy Podcasting Network. Visit WrestleJoy.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as interviews, show reviews, articles, and more, as we bring out the joy in the wrestling world today.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Whenever you're listening to this, welcome to the internet's most sophisticated wrestling podcast, discussing the weekly aspects of it all, right here on
the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Bald Podcast. As always, I'm Christopher here with you for another great interview. I got the captain with me. Captain Chuckles is here at a board. How we doing, Captain?
I'm good. It's nice and sunny out. It's a hot day today, so I'm enjoying it.
It's rainy here, so I'm mad at you, basically, is what it comes down to.
Come up to Pennsylvania.
No, thank you. And with us today, we're very excited to have the promoter owner of Elevate Wrestling, Brittany Nicole. She does everything butt bump. Brittany, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on and talking to y'all. And yeah, it was rainy here too today. It was gross in New Orleans. So maybe you have to come to Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania's got the sunshine today. I like it.
I don't think anyone's ever went South Carolina, New Orleans, Pennsylvania. I have to go to Pennsylvania ever. That statement has probably never happened in the history of the world.
And to be honest, if I had the choice, I probably wouldn't choose that either.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. We love you, Pennsylvania.
I love you, my third state.
So, Brittany, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. And what we like to do in our interviews is just let everybody get to know you more. Let's get to know what you're about, how you got into wrestling, what your passions are. And we always like to start the question with, what was young Brittany Nicole like?
Oh, well, young Brittany Nicole, I grew up in Ohio, in the middle of nowhere, up near Cleveland. And this little farm, I raised chickens and bunnies and all that stuff. And I grew up watching wrestling from my parents. They would watch it when they were young. Every Saturday night, they would get together, I guess, and play card games and also watch wrestling. And so I grew up with that. I had nothing else. I had all boy cousins. So like we wrestled on the trampoline and fought and stuff. And then went to college in Ohio. And then eventually when I turned 19, I packed my bags and moved to New Orleans. Said bye. So young me was scrappy. I was definitely, I guess, a tomboy, but also a girly girl. Like I like to be in dresses, but also climb trees.
In the dresses.
In
the dress. Oh yeah, no, straight up. Yep. Straight up. I would be in dresses, full makeup, nails painted, in a tree.
That's awesome. That's called chameleon. Yeah. Able to do it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Butt bump.
Butt bump. I mean, I can bump. I just choose not to.
Smart.
I try.
So you mentioned growing up, your parents were playing card games and watching wrestling, and I'm sure you were there also watching wrestling. Who caught your eye? What wrestler was like your first memory of falling in love with wrestling?
Well, I grew up in the, this is going to date me, but I grew up in the Attitude Era. And so my first like memories would be like a really young Rock and The Undertaker, and Stone Cold was just starting to get his momentum as Stone Cold. And that definitely stuck with me, just the whole kind of thing. And of course, there's a lot of bad of the Attitude Era. It wasn't all great. There was a lot that was bad.
Yeah.
There was a lot that was bad. And people forget that. And I love that people forget that because it's, you know, it's a nostalgia thing. But there was a lot of bad. But the women's wrestling, like Trish and Lita and stuff like that, like seeing them, I remember us wrestling on the trampoline all the time, and I wanted to be Trish so bad, but I also wanted to be the Undertaker again, in a dress, in a tree. So I wanted to be.
Very weird image.
Yeah, I wanted to be the Trish and Undertaker. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be Trish, but also like in this like awesome, sexy Undertaker thing, like with the hat and just pull the hat down. And then just flip the hair back. I don't know.
I got you.
Yeah, right?
I would.
All in.
That's what it was missing. That's what the Attitude Era was missing, was that they should have just did a mashup. But one of my cousins decided to chokeslam me, but he didn't chokeslam me on the trampoline. He chokeslammed me off the trampoline onto the ground. And I remember laying there for a moment and then like, running to me, and then I grabbed this giant stick and I just chased them and started swinging it. So I definitely was full on into, you know, the street fights and like the kendo sticks and all that kind of stuff. Like that, it definitely shaped me. That's my very first love of wrestling, is seeing the Attitude Era. And I know it's a lot of people that are in the wrestling business now or watch wrestling now, like the Attitude Era sticks out to them, but it was what shaped me. It's what made me who I am and what I love today. Definitely still pulls from that swinging of the kendo stick and all the blood and the thumbtacks and the Hell in the Cell and Mankind and all that fun stuff.
It really was. It seems like that age of wrestling is a turning point for a lot of people that knew about it and enjoyed it. But like when WWF at the time took that turn, that's when I think a lot of people were like, "Ooh, this is fun. I think I'm gonna watch a little bit more than I was before."
Right, and I remember Nitro. Like, that's the thing. I have horrible memory, but I remember Nitro. But I also don't really remember it sticking with me. Like, I remember watching it. I remember, like, if I see matches now, I'm like, "Oh yeah, I remember watching that match." I don't remember that it was on Nitro and not, you know, Raw, but I remember watching that match. So it's one of those things of like, you know, all the wrestling just kind of blurred together at one point. I knew eventually it would all be one. There's enough room for all of us, so I knew it would all be eventually copacetic and all be there together. So
so you're growing, you're jumping on the trampoline and chasing people with sticks. What wrestler that you watched made you go, I might want to do that. I might want to get more involved in that one day.
Definitely Trish and Lita in the female aspect. I thought as a child, I thought when I turn 18, I'm going to move to Florida. I'm going to train. I'm going to be a wrestler. I'm going to do this. I moved to New Orleans. It's close enough, but
You missed it.
Yeah, you know,
little west.
I got to New Orleans and went close enough. Been here for 12 years now, so.
That's one of the places that I haven't been to yet is New Orleans. Yeah,
you'll have to come. Well, I mean, eventually WWE is going to come back here because they love money, and they make so much money here in New Orleans.
Yes.
And so I mean, y'all are going to have to come down sometime for like a Mania trip. And I will be your guide. Deal. I will be your tour guide. I will guide
Deal.
You through the city.
We don't tell us twice.
Yeah, no,
tell
no.
Us once.
No, yeah. Right? We've done that before. We try to go to the Royal Rumble each year. Has been the trip that's been going on. Christopher and I have been to the Big Four for all of the WWE events. We've been to WrestleMania, you know, so.
Yeah, we're travelers.
We love getting out there.
Yay, so, good. Yeah, it's, man, WrestleMania here in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's no joke. Yeah, they've always done great numbers there. And what's interesting is, so you talk about how much fun it is, how much fun it was to do a little bit of the wrestling, how much fun it was to chase everybody with sticks, and what made you fall in love with it or made you passionate about doing it. We're just getting involved with a new website called WrestleJoy. And one of our main questions for all our listeners now is, what part of wrestling or what in wrestling really brings you joy? What about wrestling do you see joyful?
I get joy from a lot of the little things. Being in the media or just watching commentary, I get joy from watching the commentators either crack up or say little slight things, or the guest commentators that come on, the wrestlers, they say different things. Like, those little things, the interviews that go awry. I love watching the bloopers of Mean Gene with any wrestler. It's just, it makes me so happy. And like watching bloopers with like Dusty Rhodes and stuff like that. Like, Dusty's one of my favorite wrestlers. As I've gotten older and learned and watched older wrestling, watched him in his prime, like, Dusty has become such an amazing, like, part of what I do. And I've learned a lot from reading his books. And it's so much fun to see those little tidbits. So that's what I really love. I love the trash talk in the ring, like Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is a great example. Kevin Owens will talk it up. And he used to, when he first came into WWE, he did it so much more. And it was hilarious, like, just to hear the verbiage going on through the entire match. Like, mm-hmm. It's those little things. That's what brings me real joy. Just recently, one I can remember is that, Adam Cole, Michael Cole, he was on commentary, and Bayley and Nikki Cross were also on commentary with them, and Corey Graves, and Nikki Cross is jumping on top of the commentary table, and Bayley's like, I'm gonna punch you in the face, Michael, and she looks at her and she goes, don't you touch him, and then she just pats him on the head really quickly, and he loses it. He just starts laughing and his head on the desk, and I'm just like, This is the best. I'm not even watching the match. Screw the match. This is where it's at right here. Just the table itself. Like, this is what's going on. And that's what I love about indie wrestling too. I love it in all different aspects, is hearing all the little tidbits from the commentary, from the wrestlers, from everything like that. Like, that's what makes it. It's theatrical. It makes it fun. It makes it everybody part of it. Like, you know, wrestling's great. I love watching technical wrestling. I can watch technical wrestling all day long, but that added little spark is what really makes me so happy, and like will have me laughing until I cry sometimes because it's so funny. Like, it's those little things. So yeah, that's what I love. I love the little tidbits, little side bits, little things like that.
I'm in for that. I had flashbacks of the Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens feud back on SmackDown, where they're sitting there just jarring at each other. I hate you. I hate you too. That was just the greatest.
Yes.
I'm on board completely.
And with, you know, that's the thing is, like, I really hate that there's no fans. It does suck. But, you know, it kind of, I hope it made people see and appreciate a little bit more the trash talk or them being able to think quick on their feet. And be able to talk and fire back because you can hear everything now.
Yep.
So that actually made me happy because I was like, I can hear what they're saying. I'm not listening to the crowd chant CM Punk for the 1800th time.
And the interesting thing about, you know, the independent shows and some of the shows that aren't on TV is they're more personal. There's more interaction from the wrestlers to the fans that are there. And for myself, having been to a couple of you know, house shows for WWE and back in the day for WWF, you know, I feel like you get more excited because you could have a interaction with somebody if you're close enough, and it just gets ingrained in you for the rest of your life, and you know, you'll remember it till, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later. So those are like the really cool things that can happen, you know, in those aspects of wrestling.
Yeah, that's what I love. It's so, wrestling is such a personal thing for everybody, and that's, you know, that's the gift, and that's the curse of wrestling, is the audience is part of it, you know, and having that kind of audience participation gives and gets something out of it. You know, you leave with a special thing each time, no matter where you're sitting. If you're close enough, you have those special moments. You know, I just see in my head, like, the images of, like, the little kids, like, back in the day getting Bret Hart's glasses and getting all that kind of stuff. Like, that's, you know, somewhere that kid, who's not a kid, obviously, I hope he's not a kid anymore, that'd be weird.
But he grew up.
Yeah. He's got those somewhere, like, in a drawer, and somebody's like, what are these? And he's like, man, that was the time. I haven't watched wrestling since then, but I have this story to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Cleveland, down south, you took a hard right, went to Louisiana.
Yes.
How did you get into becoming an interviewer and then that leading into being an announcer? And that's one of the other things, or two of the other things that you actually do with Elevate Pro Wrestling. So how did that happen?
I lied. I lied my way in. Fake it till you make it. So,
what we're doing.
Exactly.
What we're all doing. We're all just figuring it out. So, when I moved to New Orleans, I fell out of watching wrestling. So, this was around 2008 is when I moved to New Orleans. And I didn't pick back up watching wrestling until a little bit before WrestleMania 30. And WrestleMania 30 was coming to New Orleans. And I was like, oh, man. I loved wrestling so much. It shaped me so much as a kid, and it shaped me to move down south. I was like, what I should really, but I'm like, I was like in my 20s at that point. And I was like, well, really don't think I want to beat my body up personally, but I would really love to be a part of the media side, because that's what I really loved, was the commentary and the interviewers and the action like that. And I was like, I'm going to try to get myself a job or get trained as an interviewer and announcer. And so I called my mom and I was like, hey, mom, I'm going to try to get myself as an interviewer announcer in pro wrestling. I didn't know how to do it. I hadn't even Googled it yet. And I was like, I found a company named Wildcat, and they basically, their person who was doing their announcing and interviewing and stuff, he was on his way out. And he was trying to find somebody to take over and train to take over. And I showed up and they were like, have you ever done this before? And I was like, yeah, totally. Sure have. Got you. So they're like, all right, cool. Well, we'll train you on some stuff. And I was like, oh, thank God. They didn't. It just kept getting slipped through the cracks. It just kept, like, being pushed back. And then eventually it was a show day in San Diego at a naval base with Brian Kendrick, Chavo Guerrero, Brian Cage, Keith Lee, Shane Taylor, Ray Horace, all on the card. So my very first time announcing ever was that show.
Deep end.
Yeah, they just pushed you right in.
And the guy who was supposed to be training me and stuff, Brett, he had already left at this time. So I was on my own. So I'm in San Diego. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm pacing back and forth before the show. And Chavo is in the bleachers. And he sees me. And he's like, hey, you nervous? And I went, and he's like, come here. And so he clocked me instantly and knew I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And he literally broke down everything that I needed to do. So I got through the show. And after the show, he must have gossiped in the locker room, because wrestlers are bigger gossipers than women. I will tell you that right now. Because then Brian Kendrick came afterwards and was like, you did really good. Here's some pointers and stuff. And luckily, Kendrick came and worked for Wildcat several times after that. And so, like, every time that I would see him, he would give me little pointers or tell me what I was doing better at or tell me to tweak this or do this. So I kind of got him to train me along the way. So I've never really had any official trainers, but, I mean, you know, Brian Kendrick helping me out is pretty – yeah, this is Brian and Chavo. That was pretty good. And I've learned from – you know, I've taken seminars since then. And stuff, but yeah, that's how I've gotten into wrestling, being an announcer, interviewer, and commentator is I lied my way in and then figured it out along the way.
There you go. Do you have, is there someone that is on your like interview bucket list? You know, the somebody that you would, that you really want to interview at some point in time?
Paul Heyman. Hands down. That man is a genius, evil genius, but genius. And I would love to learn so much from him, because since Dusty is no longer here, he learned a lot from Dusty and has taken a lot of that kind of mindset and mantra on with him. And being able to just have somebody that was one degree separation to learn from. Like, I was just being in the room with him, I've heard that you can pick up a lot of stuff, and that would be a super huge honor to be able to just learn anything from him, because I've learned from some great people. Like, I've learned, you know, how to work the crowds and stuff from like Teddy Long. I've, you know, taken seminars from Dr. Tom Pritchard. You know, he's great on psychology. He was teaching a wrestling seminar. And of course I wasn't going to get in the ring, but the first 2 hours of the class was literally just him talking about psychology.
You need that background.
Exactly. And that's the thing too, is in Louisiana, we have a wrestling commission, and that's different than a lot of other states. And so in order to step into a ring, referees, managers, announcers, all that kind of stuff, we have to know the basics, and we have to have a wrestling license and have blood work done and everything like that. So I know the basics of how to wrestle. I know that the small little tidbits of that kind of stuff. But I think that just kind of makes you even a better commentator and announcer and stuff like that, to be able to articulate better because you know how to do those kind of things. So.
Exactly. I mean, we've talked about it with some of our other guests, and just trying to get that full 360 view of what you're doing and grasp all the different concepts that are in your business is mm-hmm. the best way to learn, the best way to get better, the best way to keep moving on with everything. So keeping moving on, how did an ownership in a independent promotion kind of come to you?
Well, once again, I was not planning. If you would have told me even last year, if you would have told me that I was going to be owning a promotion, I would have laughed at you and said, no, I don't want to. No. I started working for Elevate Pro about 3 years ago. Elevate Pro itself is 4 years old. I started working for it about 3 years ago just as an announcer and interviewer. And the promoter was also a wrestler. So he was wrestling and promoting at the same time. And last October, before then, he just got burned out. He was going through personal stuff. He was tired of wrestling. He was tired of running a promotion, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And if you don't have a strong will to be able to deal with the finances and the taxes and all the different stuff, you know, and make it like a legit company and not just play house, or basically, mm-hmm. and that way that it has a sustainability and it has money to give to people, and you can pay your talent, you can do all this. It's really difficult. And especially with a commission, because down here in Louisiana, you also have to pay the commission every time you run a show, plus all these other expenses like EMTs and doctors and all that kind of stuff that you're forced to have at your shows. Mm-hmm. In a licensed state. And so he was like, I'm going to sell it. Now, mind you, Elevate Pro also has a training school. And the training school is ran out of the same place that we do some of our shows. We have a couple places we do shows, but one of our smaller shows is in the gymnasium. And that's also where our training center is. So we just kind of have a one-stop shop. And the training center has some great people who have already like graduated out of it, but has a lot of trainees that are either teenagers, like 14, 15, 16. And some of those kids come from foster homes or from broken homes. And this is their hope. This is their hope and dream. Like, this is what they have. This is it. This is, you know,
their
and
way
he
out.
Already take, yeah. And, you know, like most of us, wrestling is an escape.
Yeah.
And he had already taken their due money. He'd already taken all of their money for training and all that kind of stuff. And he was just going to sell the business and fold the school. And I racked my brain. And sorry, somebody was trying to call into me. Why? I racked my brain and I was like, I can't let this fall. I mean, for me, I can go get other work. I can travel. I can do all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to stop. But these kids and these trainees, like, this is one of the only schools around where they're at. So they would have to travel hours away to go somewhere, and their parents aren't going to drive them hours away to fulfill, you know, training, or their foster home isn't going to do that. And so I was like, you know what? No, let me buy it. So I worked my butt off and I bought the company and the school and got it all signed over into my name and went to the commission and got a license under my name and got everything legally under my name and kept the thing going. So now we still have a training school and they still have a place to learn how to wrestle and potentially debut one day. And, you know, we're still running shows. And January was my very first show ran under my moniker. And it was the largest crowd we had ever had at that gymnasium.
Nice. So, kudos. Yeah. Kudos.
And everyone got paid and we still had money to put in the bank account. So
that's awesome. And again, you know, with going back to Chris's question earlier, you know, what the joy, what does that give you? Your joy of wrestling, you know, pushed you to get involved even just a little bit further than where you were. And, you know, now you're an owner and promoter. Sorry, yeah. my mouth doesn't want to work.
That's okay. It's so weird that there's, I always just said like, oh, I'm the promoter of Elevate Wrestling, or oh, I'm the owner. And then I realized that there's some companies that have different, an owner and a promoter. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, how is that? Is that nice? How does that feel? How nice. How does that feel? But it's so weird. And also I'm the only female ever. I'm the first and only female in the state of Louisiana to ever own a promotion. So that was shocking to the commission when I went to go get my license and they saw it was a woman getting a license. They were a little shook, but
women don't like wrestling.
It was very interesting. The council of 10 men were like, all right, young lady. I was like, oh, okay, this is how this is going. Okay. But just whatever. Just here's your money. Give me my license.
What is one of the like most rewarding things about being, you know, a promoter / owner for Elevate?
I would have to say, as corny as this sounds, I really love the people that we get to bring in for the matches, and also being able to see the talent that we're growing here in Louisiana, and being able to see all those matches come together and then see them flesh out and then see the fans get really excited. Like our show in October, our anniversary show, is ran at the Civic Center, and we do our Civic Center show every October, and the Civic Center is in Chalmette, and that's where Mid-South used to run back in the day. Mm-hmm. And so we basically ended up booking some old school matches to try to bring that old school vibe back. So we had a good friend of mine, Michael Carter, who is the son of JYD. He's son of Junkyard Dog. He is obviously, he's not his real son. He didn't have a son, but he was given the moniker through Junkyard Dog's trainee that had been passed down. He had been given the moniker and they said, okay, you can roll with it. He looks just like him. He wears the thump.
He wears the thump.
He comes out with the chain. He always brings his son in the ring to dance with him. He's got a little boy's suite. And we had him wrestle against Zicky Dice. And Zicky's been a friend of mine for a while. And so Zicky came up with this whole idea to like get dog food and put it on in a bowl and try to shove his face in it. And they just like did all this like really old school stuff, and the crowd went crazy. And to see that match, you know, come to fruition and build and all that kind of thing, like that's my favorite. I'm just a nerd. I just like storytelling. I like watching the things happen and watching the stories get built. And I like being a part of them. That's why I love being an interviewer and stuff, is because I love being able to get people over and help them tell their stories. Because when we put the matches out on TV or on YouTube and stuff like that, I love to be able to have that build of like what's going to happen next month when we eventually have this title shot or this or that. Like, I like the story. I like the stories.
It's so cool because it's like you're a businesswoman. You obviously run a business, but you're a fan. Like mm-hmm. You could see that you're just a fan, and it's like you get to live that dream of, I get to be a fan and I get to decide what I get to watch. I mean, it's a cool combination.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is like I'm a huge fan. I'm a businesswoman first. I am cutthroat. I will make sure that you will not mess with my money and my talent and this and that. Like I am very business oriented. I am the one. I'm the bad person. Like we have our trainers, our head trainers, Ben Wood and Corey Constantine, and they're like the good guys most of the time. And like, I'm the bad cop. So there's good cop, bad cop. That's me. I'm the bad one. Like, I'll come in and be like, we're going to have a talk. Like, I'm the one that gets to get the heat and all of that, because, you know, that's fine. I'm used to it. But being a fan and being able to see all this stuff, yeah, I'm just a big nerd and a fan. So yeah, I'm a business person, but yeah, I'm a total, I mean, we're all marks or we wouldn't be in this business, but I'm a total mark for this business. Like I love it. I love the storytelling. I love seeing the kids' faces. I love seeing signs. I love signs. I don't know. There's some people that are just like, I hate signs. They're stupid. They're in the way or whatever. Like I want fans to bring more signs. I do sign contests. I do sign contests at the shows. Like we get a lot of donations from one of our sponsors, Raising Cane's. So we get like free like meals and like gift baskets and, you know, kids meals and all that kind of stuff. And I give that stuff away to like the best signs. So I'm like, I'm always encouraging people. And some of them try to be biased and make signs for me with my pictures on them.
Hey, pick me.
I'm not saying that I've definitely given them, you know.
Not definitely, but
maybe once or twice.
Right. Like when it like has me on it and it says like our announcer is better than yours.
Oh, look at that one. Oh,
yeah. You kind of have to give that one a little bit of an edge.
Right.
So before I ask what is next with Elevate and everything, we recently talked to your champion, Ray Fury.
Yes.
Not too long ago. And as I was doing some research on both Elevate and Ray, I came across a very interesting match that I know wasn't something that you're probably prepared to talk about. But
I know what you're going
to
talk about.
I have to get a little bit of background on it. So it was a title match between Rey and Serpentico. And I do not know the gentleman's name who came running down the ring with a manila envelope, but he gave it to the referee. And then the referee started to talk to you, I believe, at the side of the ring. And he was cashing in something. What is the manila envelope?
Well, I mean, it is a manila envelope. It is a manila envelope. That was some kind of stipulation of cashing in a rematch clause of some sort or some kind of thing. I don't actually fully remember. Again, memory's hazy. But I do believe that was what it was, is that he was cashing in his rematch clause or his clause to be for the championship. if I can remember.
And
we've done away with them. Yeah.
He blew it. Like, I mean, he went in, he's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Both Rey and Serpentico were down on the mat. He goes over and then Serpentico rolls him up and pins him. I was like, bro, you literally had it handed to you on a platter and you screwed it up.
Yeah, no, now I remember that. Yeah. I was like, wait a second. He definitely didn't lose. Serpentico was our longest running champion for, he was almost 2 years, like legit almost 2 years. He was our champion for quite some time. Can't say I don't miss him, but I do miss him sometimes because it's just some great storytelling. We had some, there's some great interviews of him just going crazy. And he's just, he has some of the, he is so good at interviews and just off the cuff. We did every interview that I did with him was one take and it was all ad lib. It was whatever just spewed out. And yeah, so that was always really fun. Those kind of wrestlers, when you can find those kind of wrestlers that are able to just be a triple threat in the fact of like technicality, look, and able to speak on the mic, like that's golden in the independent scene. Because, you know, I've met some amazing wrestlers who can talk all day long but can't put a headlock. Like, or vice versa. They're really good at technically wrestling, but if they're really scared to do an interview, I've had some that straight up don't want to be interviewed, like that turn me down to do an interview because they don't know what to say. They're like, well, what do you want me to say? Tell me what to say. I'm like, I can't tell you what your character
should
say.
It's your character. you have to come up with that. Well, we are unfortunately, you know, in the midst of our pandemic world and everything, but when everything comes back, does Louisiana have like a time frame of when you guys are able to come back? And when you are able to come back, what is on the plate for you guys?
Well, we're technically in phase two. New Orleans, so Louisiana and New Orleans are kind of fighting with each other. So Louisiana is in phase two. They're full blown, getting ready to open almost into phase three. I think they're going to be in phase three in July. I think they're moving to July's phase three. New Orleans is, because it is such a tourist-heavy city, and it's a lot of bars and a lot of tattoo parlors and hairdress shops and very tourist and small space-oriented, because a lot of our bars, a lot of our entertainment areas and everything are very tiny, little like hole-in-the-wall places or a little tiny. Some people, it's actually their like the front of their house. Like it's like all these little space, tiny... spaces. So we've been shut down for almost 3 months now, with not even like music being played outdoors, like buskers, like who busk on the street for change, like they haven't even been around. It's been Bourbon Street literally has no one. Like there's tumbleweeds. Like it's crazy to imagine Bourbon Street empty. So we're still waiting. Luckily where we wrestle is in Chalmette, which is 5 minutes away from New Orleans most of the time, and that's where the Civic Center is. And our next big show is scheduled for October. We were going to have a show in July, but it's still cutting it too close. And I want to make sure that my wrestlers are safe, and I want to make sure that my audience is safe, because the last thing I want to do is, one, get somebody sick and possibly they die, but also I do not want that kind of, you know, stigma stuck with me as well. Just to be a little selfish, I don't want that kind of stigma on Elevate Pro. Right. But I also, like, I really want to protect my wrestlers, because I feel like that's something that a lot of companies aren't also thinking about. They're thinking about spacing out. They're like, oh, we can space out the crowds, we can do this, we can keep it, but then they're not thinking about the people that are actually working for them. They're not thinking about the wrestlers themselves. And so I want to make sure. So October is our 5-year anniversary show.
Nice. Yes.
And so that's going to be the next big show. It's going to be at the Civic Center, which is a huge place. So like they'll be, if there is still social distancing, like being strictly enforced, there's plenty of room, even though it's indoors, there's plenty of room. There's three tiers of seating. And that's going to be our next big show. So it's going to be our full on knockdown drag out, like big shebang.
And that's a great way to, to get back into it with an anniversary show.
Go big. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Who should we know? Who should our listeners and viewers know, you know, in your promotion? Who are the people that we should pay attention to and elevate, bro?
Definitely the first person that comes to mind is Dale Springs. So Dale Springs is a graduate of Elevate Pro. He started about 2 years ago, and he's already been so gung-ho. Like, he's made sure he's gone out there and traveled. He's traveled to, like, I think 12 states already, and he's in wrestling, and he's only 2 years in, and probably a good, like, full year in of, like, wrestling. He's got this great game. Like, he's a golfer. He's the man under par, or he's known now as the golf father. So he's the golf father.
I see that.
I like it.
Yeah, right? I like it. Right?
I see what he did there.
Yeah. And his new shirt logo is the logo of the Godfather, but it's the golf father, and then it's got a silhouette of him. And he's really just taken on his character and really has honed it, like, you know, he's got a caddy. He's got the quiet sign. He's got the clubs. He does. He has a caddy. Curtis is our cat. This is the caddy. He's got a caddy. He's got golf clubs. He's got the quiet sign he comes out with. He has to swing his thing. He's got one of those books that they write in, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's got his name embroidered on it and everything. Like, it's a full on, he's got the glove. His ring gear is set up to look like he doesn't just come out in golf gear. He actually had ring gear made to look like golf gear, but it is still wrestling ring gear.
That's fantastic.
And he's really done good. And he's a young kid. I think he's 22. So he's still, like, got so much room to grow. Corey Constantine's another one. He's one of our head trainers. I knew him back from Wildcat. That's where I first met him. And he's wrestled all over. He's trained at OVW. And in Louisville, and he's traveled all over, and he's so great. He's got this split personality gimmick where he's three people in one. He's the hunk of punk, which is this, like, pretty boy kind of guy, and then he's got his amalgamation, which is, like, this kind of, like, two-faced kind of, he paints himself up, like, very voodoo doll style. It's very New Orleans. It's very connects to him, and he's from here. He's from Louisiana, and so, like, it's a very good connected roots thing. And then we've got a couple of amazing trainees coming out, like, that have just made their small debuts. We've got Mendoza. He's known as the Mountain Mendoza, and Antonio Bronson, who is just, he actually, his first, like, solo match was against JD Jenkins down here. And JD Jenkins not only wrestles, but he also is an MMA fighter. And so we had their first match actually be an MMA style fight, and so they went three rounds, and they, like, legit just beat each other. and yeah, we have some great, I mean, our trainees work really hard. It's been so great to see the ones that have been coming out and just shining and just trying new characters and trying this and trying that, and, like, they'll do promos and, like, send them to me, because we also, not just training, but we also try to help with character development. And then I run, like, a promo class and stuff like that as well, so that they can start learning to talk on the mic and do all that kind of stuff too. So it's been, yeah. But Dale Springs, Corey Constantine, Antonio Bronson, Mendoza. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Soon to be household names.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, and that's the thing, is what I love about independent wrestling is I tell people more and more, like, go see independent wrestling, go see indie wrestling, because the people that you're watching on TV right now, like the AJ Styles and the Kevin Steens, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's and all that, all those people, you literally, you know, even, you know, everybody that's now, the AEW is so hot. Everybody in AEW, like, half that roster, you know, I mean, even Serpentico, who is, was our champion, he's on it now. Like, it's one of those things of, you see these people and you're like, oh, I worked with them, you know. Mm-hmm. I worked with Keith Lee before he was Keith Lee that he is now. He was my very first cage match I ever announced. You know, like it's one of those things of people can have those kind of memories. Like, oh, I hung out with this guy at a show. I was able to take pictures and chat with him, because once they hit that kind of mainstream, you're not going to be able to chat with them. You're not going to be able to hang out. You're not going to be able to, you know, actually, you know, stand at their merch booth. They're not going to be at their merch booth.
No.
You know? So it's, I really do think that people need to see more independent wrestling, because it is the future. It always is. It's just a constant rotation.
As we always say, everybody get out, support the independent wrestlers, support the independent promotions, go enjoy this stuff.
Yeah.
Once you can get back out there.
Yes.
Get back out.
Yes.
There. Yes. Right. Once you can go. But until then, just watch it. There's so many wrestling promotions, including Elevate Pro, that's on YouTube. Like, there's so many promotions still cranking out stuff. Like, right now we're doing, I'm doing a history of the Women's Championship on YouTube, because a lot of people, you know, that are following us now might not have necessarily followed us when we first started. So I'm showing them, like, here are all the champions that we've had in our women's division. Here are the matches. Here are the stipulate, blah, 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 blah. So that's what we're doing now. But it's just, you know, to keep people entertained, because everybody's going cuckoo, stuck in their houses. And again, wrestling's an escape, and it's still there, even though it's not there, it's still there on the screen. So, like, you can still just Google, just type in on YouTube or whatever. Just use the interwebs.
Yes. So you talk about being stuck inside. What are we doing outside of the wrestling ring? What are we doing as a hobby? What's your interest if it's not wrestling? I know you probably don't have a lot of free time just laying around.
Promoter, announcer.
I just lounge. I just relax. I don't do anything else. I just lay in bed all day. I need one of those, like, big fluffy robes that makes it look like I just killed my husband or something.
It's like a big, weird, like, turd.
That's my hobby. No.
That's your hobby. Killing husbands. Yes.
Killing husbands. I have six now. I'm just kidding. My other side project thing is I do a lot of rhinestoning. I've done rhinestoning for probably about 10 years now for drag queens and burlesque performers and Mardi Gras costumes and all that kind of stuff. And so I started doing it for ring gear, because wrestlers put a lot of rhinestones on their stuff now. And so I've started just last year doing ring gear, like, customization. So if you want your gear blinged out, that's what I do. So I just kind of chill and just rhinestone at home. I wish I had hobbies. I sound so lame. I do, talking about myself, I'm like, well, I watch wrestling. I take notes. I film videos. Oh, TikTok. I do TikTok. TikTok is something that I do. That's a guilty hobby. I legit got my face ready for this interview and went, ooh, I can film some TikToks after, since my face is already made up.
Yeah. Opportunity. TikTok is a very interesting application.
It's a drug. Don't do it, kids.
my kid and my girlfriend would agree with you that it is a drug.
It is. It's a drug. I just hit over 10,000 followers on TikTok, and it's the only thing I've ever hit 10,000 followers on so far. And I'm elated, but I'm also like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Because I've posted some, like, funny wrestling things. I've done some funny wrestling things on there. There's a lot of really cool wrestling TikToks that make me laugh. There's a couple guys on there that are wrestling fans that do wrestling TikToks, and they're really funny. I've done some wrestling things. I do lip syncs. I do dances. For some reason, this video that I did, it's a voiceover of that TV show, What We Do in the Shadows. Have you watched What We Do in the Shadows? It's a comedy show about vampires.
Yep.
It's based off of the movie, What We Do. Yep. It's a spoof. And one of the voiceovers is one of the girls saying something funny. And it's literally just me lip syncing that, and it hit, and it's at like 150 something thousand people have seen it. And
TikTok,
I'm like,
famous. TikTok, yeah. Famous. TikTok
famous.
And I was like, hashtag. I didn't do anything in this. I didn't do tick. Like, that's not even my voice. It's not even my voice.
I just hit record.
Yeah. I literally pushed the button, just went.
Gold. TikTok.
150,000 views. Yeah, I can't for the life of me get, you know, people to watch a YouTube like that. But yeah, I can get TikTok. So like TikTok is where it's, I just like, there's just, the videos are so funny. They're so funny. I really enjoy people's creativity. The cosplays, I'm a huge anime nerd. The cosplays are the best. Like, oh my goodness, like, their creativity is too much. I just really
cosplay in general. Cosplay in general is just, I mean, some people's talents and creativity is amazing to see.
Yeah.
And it's all these young kids. Like, all these young kids. And I'm just like, where do you get the money and the time? More importantly, the money. Because everyone has time right now.
Yeah. There's they have no money. They spent it all on the cosplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so it's time.
I'm lame.
You're not, no.
No.
The rhinestoning's
cool. You're running a
business.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The rhinestoning's cool. You're running a business. I mean, and obviously we're in times where there's not a whole lot of hobbies that you even can do. And you're in an area that doesn't really open up yet either. So I'm not expecting to go out and fly a kite or anything right now. You're kind of trapped at the moment.
Yeah, I'm very trapped. I would love to go to a bar and have a cocktail. I would love to.
Agreed.
I would just love to go have a cocktail at a bar. That's it. That's all I want. That's all I want. I don't even want to talk to anybody.
Leave me alone. I'm having my cocktail. Go away.
I would literally sit in the corner of some weird, seedy, dark. That's a lot of the places we have here are seedy, weird, dark places. I would sit in this weird, seedy, dark bar with my drink, with my gin gimlet, just sitting there in the corner with no one bothering me. That's all I want. I just, that's it. I am old enough to drink.
Believe it or not, you've just like talked about the origins of this podcast. That's exactly how it started. In a bar, at a cocktail bar, sitting at a bar. Talking wrestling with no one else talking to us, but just the two of us sitting at a bar drinking.
And not me. I wasn't even there.
Not Captain Chuckles. It was our other podcaster, Big Baby Jimmy. But that is the exact origin of the podcast you're on right now.
That's amazing. See, I want that. Because I'm getting too known in my neighborhood. So I mean, I've lived here for 12 years, but the neighborhood I live in right now, I've been here for like 4, but I'm getting too known by what I do and by my promotion, because literally the UPS guy the other day, he handed me a package and he goes, "This is gonna be weird, but are you the wrestling lady?"
That's fantastic.
Why is that weird? Like,
he literally was like, "I don't want to sound creepy or weird or anything." He's like, "But," and he's like handing me the package. He's like, "Are you the wrestling lady?" And I'm like,
"Yes.
Yep. Yes. Yes, I am. Yep. Come see a show. Okay, bye."
Here's a flyer. We're coming back in October. We'll see you there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, bye. So, yeah, I would like to get a bar and not be known as the wrestling lady. I guess it's better than being the crazy cat lady or something, but.
That's true. So, you want to get back to a bar, but we want to talk about favorites now. Before we get to the big question, one big question that Mr. Chuckles over here has. But first, we're going to go through some favorites.
Okay.
And we're going to start with, what was your favorite interview you've ever done?
Oh, wow.
The favorites are always the hard-hitting questions. I think every single person is always like, man, I really got to think about that.
Thinking.
It's not that I have to think. It's that I have to choose.
Right. Decisions.
Because I've had some great interviews. I had one with Matt Stryker before, and it was It wasn't even with Matt. It wasn't originally supposed to be with Matt. It was for this six-way elimination match, and I'm interviewing one person, and he goes to say something, and the next person jumps in and interrupts him, and then the next person jumps in and interrupts him, and it keeps going until Stryker was supposed to be in this, or was in this match, and so he jumps in at the end and cuts them all off, and then puts his arm around me, and as we're walking off, this is the best little tidbit, because he slipped this in at the end. I didn't know he slipped this in at the end, and it's my favorite little tidbit, because it's, again, I love those little things that get added that you just hear, like, off camera, this, that. As we're walking away, I have the mic, and he goes, "So what are you doing later on?" We're just like, and everybody else is left there just standing, like, WTF, and I was just like, I love those little tidbits. So the Matt Stryker one was great. I have to say, Serpentico, me and him have some great chemistry together. Every single interview I've done with him, sometimes I stand up to him, sometimes I don't. We have this great long sit-down interview where he just goes berserk about Effie, which is another amazing person to interview, but goes berserk about Effie, and then, like, he ends up, like, moving his chair really close to me and, like, grabbing me and putting me around and just, like, you know, being like, "Do you know?" And I'm just like, and I didn't, again, it's all ad lib. So I'm just rolling with the punches. And a lot of the interviews we did were in ring. So he, like, backed me in the corners. He, like, you know, grabbed me by the hair, pulled me around, like, pulled the mic around, asked me questions. Like, it's just like a constant, you know. One time he was like, "What day is it?" And it was in the ring, and people are like, "Rusev Day." And he's like, he looked at the crowd and went, "I can tell you for a fact it's not, because we will get sued." Serpentico will have to be my number one for favorites for that.
So. Okay, so I got to call a timeout here.
It's a small world moment.
When you say Matt Stryker, are you talking about teacher gimmick, was in WWE for a little while, Matt Stryker?
Yeah, I'm talking about commentator on Lucha Underground, Matt Stryker, now currently going to be on that weird reality baby TV show. I don't know what he's doing with his life.
Yes. Well, in a past life.
Yes. Yeah. In a past life, we knew Matt Stryker. We will not say his real name. Yes. We actually his both.
His ex-fiance lives down here. I know her very well.
Oh, nice. Well, we both used to play roller hockey with Matt Stryker before he got big into wrestling. So that is a very, very odd connection that we have here. Very weird.
Here we are.
And here we are.
And here we are.
We're all brought to. We're like 6 degrees from Stryker. Degrees of Stryker. Is that what?
Oh, that could be the new podcast name. I don't know.
Like, you just keep rolling with these podcast names.
I love it.
We're gonna have to have a conversation later.
I was so good. So this is why I was able to lie myself into the business.
Truth. So next favorite would be favorite city to visit.
Dallas. Wow. I love Dallas. I have lots of friends there. Also, the wrestling there is, the wrestling in Texas in general. There's some great wrestlers that come from Texas. I've just had so much fun working. I say Texas in general. I also really like Houston. I was in Houston/Waco for Reality of Wrestling. I did commentary for Ladies Night Out in February, right before everything got canceled. So I'm really glad I got to do that. And being at the Reality of Wrestling facility and everything like that, and then I got to go into Booker T's office. He wasn't there. He didn't know. But I was there in Booker T's office. Hey, everyone brought me into his office. So not my fault. They were all watching wrestling on his big TV. But seeing all that was so much fun. Just Texas and general. Houston, Dallas, Austin. Austin is weird. Austin tries to be like New Orleans. They have this whole, like, thing called Keep Austin Weird. It's, like, their slogan, Keep Austin Weird. And they have, like, their own kind of, like, mini Bourbon Street at night. And sometimes, like, it doesn't even compare. But they try. and they try to be like New Orleans, and it's great because then I just feel like I'm in a weird, hotter version of my
bizarro home.
Yeah. I'm in a bizarro world of New Orleans where there is still, you can't take a drink outside. I'm just like, oh, okay, so you guys are cool, but you're not cool. Okay.
Not that cool.
You're not that cool. Sorry, Austin.
We love Austin. We love Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we talk about how the crowd goes hand in hand with wrestling. Music tends to go hand in hand with wrestling too. What's your favorite music?
See, so I'm very eclectic. I love everything but country. Not old country. I love old country. New country, I don't get it. But old country, like Garth Brooks, Reba McEntire, and back. But again, I grew up on a farm, so we live in the country. But I really love everything. Like, I love death metal. I love horrorcore. I love rap music. Tech N9ne is my favorite rapper in all the world. Tech N9ne, he's from Kansas City, Missouri. And he is a fabulous rapper. He is, his lyrics and stuff. I like lyrics. I like beats, but I also love when people are able to add an amazing lyrical up onto all that kind of stuff. And he's great. So I listen to a lot of rap music. I actually, in order to get all of my blah, blah, blah out, because you know how some actors will do the whole red leather, yellow leather, and they'll do like different kind of things to get their tongue twisters and get their, all their blah, blah, blah out. That's what
that
I call
a, that
it.
Is blah, a technical term, their, people. The blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah.
The blah, blah, blah. The blah, blah, blah out.
I got to do some of that.
I rap Blackalicious's Alphabet Aerobics. It's an amazing song by Blackalicious, and it's called Alphabet Aerobics, and it literally is a rap starting from A and going to Z. So all the words go from A to Z. So I rap that every time, and I've got it memorized, so I can say it even without the thing. But it's this whole, like, and so that helps me get all my blah, blah, blah out. So, yeah. I like any kind of music. I really like rap or upbeat music for people's entrances that are like faces, because I just feel like it gets the crowd. Like, if there's a good beat, it just makes the crowd
bounce,
do whatever I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. But I also just really like dark and brooding. Again, back to the Attitude Era. Like, I like rock music that's like dark and brooding for other people. Poppy's really good. I didn't think that I would like Poppy, but NXT turned me on to Poppy, and I was like, oh, I'm impressed, because when I originally saw Poppy, she was doing those creepy YouTube videos. Like, I'm Poppy. Yeah.
I have a couple of her albums that I've listened to, and it's like, there are some songs I'm like, oh, I could get down with this song, and then there are other songs that I'm like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, there's some identity crisis going on in that girl. But definitely. I mean, like, it's, yeah. So all music, but definitely big ups to Tech N9ne and all. He doesn't get enough credit for everything that he does. So
cool.
If you haven't listened to Tech N9ne, I highly suggest that you just type in. It's Tech, like T-T-C or T-E-C-H, and then 9 as in N-9-N-E.
Yep. Now we're going to come down and visit. We're going to be in Louisiana. Yes. Where are you taking us for your favorite place to eat?
Ooh, to eat. Okay. Well, do you guys have any allergies?
This guy does.
Okay. What do you have? Are you allergic to shellfish?
Just, oh, yeah.
Yes, I am. But take me there anyway. I just won't eat. I'll just watch.
Okay. So you're allergic to shellfish. No, that's fine, because I'm not a bit. So, even though I live here, I hate crawfish. I like shrimp, but I hate crawfish. And that's like a sin here. I don't know why. They're disgusting. They're little. They're like this big. And do you know how much work? Do you know how much work you?
They're yummy. Okay.
Listen, Pennsylvania. Look. Have you ever tried to? Have you had to peel them apart? Okay. That's too much work for too little meat.
I agree.
You know, like, it's too lit. Like, there's so much little meat, and I fight with it so hard. And then they tell you you're supposed to suck the head. because the juices get stored in the head after the brain dissolves, so the juices from the pot
Chris is stored in the head. Oh my
and
lord.
So you're supposed to suck the head.
It's just a shot of brain juice.
Yeah, a shot of brain juice with like the spices and the stuff that was in the pot. I don't know why I stir the pot like I'm a wicked witch or something, but like I'm just over here like, yes, get the brain juices. But yeah, oh, okay. So I definitely would have to say that Cafe Amelie is amazing. It's in the French Quarter. It's on Royal Street, which is the street parallel to Bourbon. So it's like the fancy, it's where all the art galleries and stuff are, and like a little like boutiques and stuff. And so it's like the polar opposite of Bourbon Street, even though they're one block away from each other. And they do fancy cocktails. They also have a little bit of mix of, you know, local New Orleans stuff, like, you know, po' boys and like shrimp and all that kind of stuff. But they also do like some of the best like soups and gumbos, and they do non-seafood gumbos, and they have a lot of variety for people with allergies and non-allergies, or people that just think shellfish are icky and stuff like
that. I can get down with some soup and some gumbo. I'm in on that.
Yeah. Oh, they're so good. Yeah, Cafe Amelie would be the best. They make the best cocktails too. Plus it doesn't anywhere we go, I'm going to know someone, so we'll just get hooked up with, like, drinks or something, because, like, there's always, in New Orleans, it's a city, but it's also not. We all know each other, so we all kind of just take care of each other.
And you're the wrestling lady.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just walk into somewhere and be like, we know the wrestling lady. Well,
they would know exactly who you're talking about, too.
That's the best part. That's the best part. Well, we are at the coup de grace. We are at the final question. The most important question. All other questions bow down to this question. Mm-hmm. The question is, Oreos, are you on team single stuff or team double stuff?
I know my answer, and it's going to make people angry, but I'm on team single stuff because I, F word, hate the cream in the center of Oreos so much.
My brain juice is just exploding.
I hate the cream. I'm like getting really low on the mic so I can just be like, I hate it. I hate the cream. Now if it's mint, I love mint Oreos. So I love mint anything, but mint Oreos, I will eat those all day. However, if we're just talking about the OG Oreos,
OG,
then yeah, I gotta go, because half the time I'll scrape the cream out anyways and throw it away. So
man,
I don't understand what's happening.
You're a monster.
You're a monster.
With everyone siding with the classic single stuff Oreo, like I'm beginning to second guess myself and thinking that I'm on the wrong side.
No, stay strong.
You know what this means, though? More double stuffed Oreos for you.
This is true.
That is true.
You're smart.
It.
Mm-hmm. You. You. So we've made it this far. We got through the last question. We're a little bit upset at the last question, but we're still going to give you some time.
Every time.
We're still going to give you your time to talk about what you got going on. How can people go find you, Brittany? How can people go support what you're doing down in Louisiana?
Well, for me, I made it super streamlined and easy. All of my social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok even, is all under a Look It's Brittany. It's LOOKITSBRITTANI. Because my name is spelled weird. You can thank my mother for that. I didn't choose it.
Thanks, Mom.
And then for Elevate Pro, again, streamlined, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I haven't gotten them a TikTok yet because I run all the social media for both accounts for everything. So it's kind of hard for me to justify adding another thing for me to do.
Fair enough.
It's like, do I really want to torture myself some more? So everything's Elevate Pro. That's ELEV, the number 8 Pro. So that's all that kind of stuff. And you can find us on YouTube under Elevate Pro. We have a website. It's just elevatepro.com. I also have a website. It's lookitsbrittany.com. Everything, I try to make everything super streamlined, super, super easy. So you can find me, find Elevate. If you find Elevate, you'll find me. Or if you find me, you'll find Elevate. It's, again, nice. 6 degrees of Stryker.
6 degrees of Stryker.
And the reason I'm looking down is because I literally just went into my TikTok and followed you. So
yay!
You have another follower closer to the next goal.
Yes.
I don't know. My daughter and my girlfriend said the other day, you know, you guys should really do a TikTok for the Bald Monkeys podcast. I said, I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea, but no one wants to see this on their TikTok. I don't even want to see this looking at myself as we're doing this.
You know, you don't realize bearded men on TikTok are very popular.
I know there's a guy, I forget his name. Everybody follows him, apparently.
The bearded guy.
Yeah, there's...
Something
there's,
John.
Yeah, there's bearded John.
Yeah, that guy. Everybody yeah. wants to do...
I was close.
I know, you were.
there's bearded John, and he actually has another friend, too, who's also a bearded man, who looks similar to you, actually. It was really funny when I saw you. I was like,
doppelganger.
And they do, I mean, they're TikTok famous. Like, they get paid by TikTok. So yeah. TikTok is one of those things it's actually really easy to, it's more easy to get paid by TikTok than it is to get paid by YouTube or anything else to get lucrative. Because TikTok, your followers go up faster and you can do more content and people see it quicker because it's shorter videos. So there's a lot of people on there that make money just doing TikToks.
This is a public service announcement for all of my doppelgangers that are out there. Please don't do anything stupid. Please don't do anything against the law. If you come to Pennsylvania, don't do anything dumb because I don't want to get mistaken identity for you. Just be good. Be a good bearded guy and just love everybody. Just don't
they do.
Do anything.
They're great. Your doppelganger is a very good person. His wife is pregnant and he's a very good guy. I think his name is Ironsides, Old Ironsides or something like that. Beer Bong John is the guy. Beer Bong John.
Yes.
Beer Bong John.
That's it.
I am going and finding this Ironside guy. Oh, man.
Me too.
I'll send it to you.
Please. Well, Brittany, we appreciate the time you shared with us today. Chuck will make sure that all of those places we can go find you are at the end of this podcast. Go check her out. Go follow her on TikTok. She's trying to get to that next level.
No, not TikTok.
TikTok.
You can give me TikToks, though. I love TikToks.
I don't have TikTok.
Christopher only has his cauldron of crawfish.
Right. We had a lot of fun. Thanks for watching the Bald Monkeys podcast. Go hit subscribe. Go hit like. Go comment. Go check out WrestleJoy and all this great positive stuff that we're putting out there. Thank you for being a follower. Thank you for being a subscriber if you already are. And we look forward to talking to you next time. Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you. Bye.